Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Awesome. Well, we're going to open up the Word of God this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, could you please turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read one verse, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And this morning, I want to preach, come on church, on a subject this morning. By the way, it's dark over here because the light decided to blow. And so it's not because we don't want to see you, we love you, but the light has had its way. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, I want to preach on a subject this morning called your spiritual authority, your spiritual authority. It is connected in with this season of prayer and fasting, and so the two will dovetail as we journey in our message today. Your spiritual authority. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 says, so Jesus is speaking to Peter, to the disciples, and he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, when we use the word authority, unfortunately, in this day and age, the word can conjure up all kinds of emotions in people. For some people, if we were to continue to use this word authority, it can be associated with a negative emotion of some sort, perhaps fear. Maybe your experience with authority is that at some point in your life, an authority structure was mishandled. And so it in you has produced a negative emotion of some sort. We could say that in today's society that we do have a society, unfortunately, where there is a general lack of respect for authority. Now, the truth is that although it's a word that for some people can cause us to feel, you know, not too good about things, the Bible does speak about this word authority, and we cannot ignore the authority that God has given to us as believers. I know for me, in my teenage years, most of the authority structures in my life were pretty good, and I tried to do the right thing. I hit a couple of roundabouts and speed bumps along the way, but most of the authority structures were good, but I did have a few negative experiences, which I would have to say that the word authority in my life at times, well, doesn't always sit really good. Now, that for me was an experience when I started high school in year 8 and I was talking in class. Now, this is in the day, or this is the time in school where if you did the wrong thing, not only would you get detention, but you would also get the cane. Who remembers those days? Now, I have to say, I'm not that old. I'm only 28. So for some of you young people thinking, what is the cane? We're only talking a few years back. And so my science teacher, now I was just talking. I wasn't doing forward rolls in the classroom. I wasn't doing anything crazy. He just happened to be in a bad mood that day. I won't say his name, even though I'm bitter right now. He said to me, get out the classroom. And I think I was praying, to be honest. No, just joking. And so I go out the classroom and he says, you are going to get the cane today. And I'm like, I'm happy to go around. Remember in the days when you'd go around at lunchtime and pick up papers? That was kind of your punishment. Come on, help me this morning. He's like gone from talking to the cane. And I'm like, okay, is this a black thing right now? Something's going on. So anyway, he takes me to this room, and it was the days where you had to put out your hand. All right, I'm bringing back some very bad memories for some of you. Some of you, it was the cane. Others, it was the paddle. Who remembers the paddle, right? So I put up my hand, and he says, you're going to get 2 hits on each hand. I'm like, I spoke. And so Anyway, the first one is, now the good thing is he obeyed the rules, because the rules were, state regulation at the time was that you could only go this high, you couldn't go all the way back. I'm like, okay, at least he's following state regulations. And he cracks my hand. But the problem with this cane is it wasn't one of the thicker ones. This was a thin cane. So when you feel that thing, baby, it's coming strong, right? So he whacks me, boom. And I'm like, okay, it's on today. And then second time, bang. And then other hand, same thing, twice. And he was so angry. This guy was just in a fit of rage. It wasn't discipline. It was, I'm going to take all my frustration out on you. And it was so bad that I could literally not hold a pen in my hand for about 2 weeks. I reckon he fractured my fingers. I've never had counseling about this, so maybe we're kind of helping each other today, because it all just seems to be coming out right now. And so for me, at that time, the word authority and authority structure was, this is abuse. You don't hit people with the cane, especially a good-looking year 8 student. Something's wrong with that. But the truth is that Satan wants to stifle. He wants to limit. He wants to cause wrong experiences with authority to stifle our understanding of this word, authority. God, his heart is that we would flourish, we would grow, and we would understand and mature in this area of spiritual authority. Now, the verse that we've quoted this morning, unfortunately in church life, is one of the most misused and abused verses in the Bible. It has been used by leadership over the years, I'm not saying here, but I'm generalizing right now, as a way of leadership determining whether someone should be admitted into or excluded from the kingdom of God, because Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so there are leadership structures, sadly, that use it to say, you're in the kingdom of God, you're out of the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus said that we should do as leadership. The verse is not saying that. And funny enough, all of the St. Peter at the gate jokes actually came from this verse. Now, what we want to talk about today is, what does this verse actually mean? And what is spiritual authority? What was Jesus saying, this beautiful thing that he has given to us in the area of authority? What did Jesus actually mean? Well, I'm going to give you 3 things today, so that my heart for you today is that if you've had a negative experience with authority, number one, that we would have a good understanding and God would refresh us and encourage us in this area, because authority is the right of a believer. So 3 things today. Number one, here we go. We do not get our will done in heaven. We obey God's will on earth, okay? Stay with me on this one. We do not get our will done in heaven. We obey God's will on earth. So the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, how do we pray? Jesus said, one of the things he said is, thy kingdom come. Here we go. Thy will be done on earth. How? As it is in heaven. Now, the misunderstanding of this verse is that people think that whatever we bind, and I'm kind of going to use some, you know, Christian vernacular phrases today, so stay with me. Whatever we bind, whatever we loose, then God's going to act accordingly, and so it shall be done in heaven. It is a misunderstanding of the verse. The best way to understand this verse is, there's an expanded translation called Kenneth West, I think you pronounce his surname. It's a brilliant translation. It gives you good understanding of Scripture. And this is how he wrote the verse, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I shall give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Come on, say amen. Here we go. And whatever you bind on earth, here we go, shall have been already. Come on, church. Already. Already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have already been loose in heaven. Now, stay with me. By definition, the word already, of course, means before, now, in the past, prior to, or beforehand. So we use the word already as an example. You're waiting at the airport for someone to pick you up. They're running late. You call them up and you say, the plane has already landed. Or if you're waiting for someone at the movies and they're running late, the movie started, you send them a text message or you call them and you say, the movie has already started. So the idea of the use or the word already is to emphasize something that was completed before something else has happened. Now stay with me. We are not called by God to bind and to loose, and then God says, well, I said that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I now need to act because that's what I told you. It is a misunderstanding of the verse and of authority. All authority that we received in God or have received in God has been delegated. It has already been given to us by God. So when the Bible speaks about binding and loosing and taking authority over things, it's not there to restrict us to say, well, I don't know if I can bind or loose anymore because I've been told I can't. What we are saying this morning is that when we exercise, come on, and you have this authority. You have, come on, I'm going to speak this again. You have this authority, this spiritual authority. We need to ask ourselves this question, what has already been bound in heaven? Come on, I'm going to cause you to flourish in your authority today. What has already, come on, say the word already. Come on, a little bit louder now. What has already been bound in heaven? So I can't name and claim then, we'll come back to that in a second. I can't name and claim because Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in, whatever you loose. It's like, Lord, I need a red Ferrari. You said if I loosed it, I saw that person, that's actually my red Ferrari. Huh? We're not talking about that today. We are talking about our Heavenly Father's will. So what has been bound in heaven? Satan's been bound. Come on, church. Depression's been bound. Anxiety's been bound. Come on, fear has been bound. Those things have been bound in Jesus' name. So when the Holy Spirit inspires and stirs our heart to take authority, we got to ask ourselves the question, what has already been bound? Come on, say amen. Confusion's been bound. Come on, addiction has been bound. Shame has already. Come on, this is not something we are creating. This is not something that in spiritual authority we are trying to make happen. That's the gospel of works. It has already happened. And so my Father's will is I am acting in accordance with what has already happened. So if shame is coming against you, here we go. You have authority to bind that. Why? Because, here we go, it's already been bound. Come on, church. Come on, if there's this sickness that just seems to keep coming and it's like, come on, this is a word for someone today. Well, I'm telling you, that thing has already, I'm not creating this, constipation prayer. Come on, church, it's already been bound. What's been loosed? Well, blessing's been loosed. Come on, are there any blessed people in the house this morning? Acceptance is when Jesus died and rose again, these things got loosed. Favor's been loosed all over you. Forgiveness, freedom. Come on, deliverance. It's already, so as a believer, not as a leader, as a believer, when we bind and loose things, it's in accordance with what has already, it's already, come on, it's already happened. Thy will be done on earth as it is, here we go, in heaven. Do you get it this morning? Well, thank you for that amazing response. Thank you, Tim. So good. I'm only kidding. Number two. Are you ready? Come on. Are you ready? Thank you. All righty then. True spiritual authority is never exercised for one's own benefit, but for the betterment of those who experienced, or we could say, is influenced by it. Can you say amen? The greatest model ever of this, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 says, but Jesus called them to himself. So, of course, the context is his good old James and John. It's like, Lord, we want to sit one on your right hand, the other on your left. Jesus, in his patient leadership, love, and ability, says, well, let's talk about that for a moment. Jesus called them and said to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Here we go. And those who are great exercise authority over them. But that's not how we do it in the kingdom of God. That's not my heart. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your, come on church, your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So true spiritual authority, the God type, we're not talking about authority that lords it over people. That is not spiritual authority. There's a word for that. It's called dictatorship. All right. We are talking about God's heart in this area because spiritual authority brings people to a place of freedom. All right, and we'll talk more about that later. Actually, I won't jump into it yet. I'm getting ahead of myself. Spiritual authority from God's perspective is not what we become or who then serves us and how many staff we end up having. True spiritual authority is how many people do we get to serve? How many people do we get to be a blessing to? Now you think about Jesus. Jesus brought 12 to himself. Did their lives become bigger? Did their lives become larger? Were they unlocked in their potential? I mean, these were ordinary, some of them completely uneducated, but Jesus saw something in them and said, you hang around me. I'm going to do my best to unlock you into your destiny and into your call because true spiritual authority is always about the betterment of people. So mums and dads, our challenge is, are we doing that with our children? Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That is, it's saying if you're too harsh all the time, your children will end up hating you. If you lead by fear, now watch this, what children fear, they end up hating. Come on, we're there to lift them. Come on, parents, we're there to encourage. We're there to speak life. We're there to speak joy. We're there to speak peace. We're there to speak blessing. School teachers, managers, leaders of companies, true spiritual authority is always for the betterment of other people. Can you say amen? Come on, amen. There's so much talk about loyalty in leadership at the moment. We need loyal people. You need to be loyal. And you know, in my ministry experience over 25 years now, I know I said I'm 28, that's the truth, 25 years of full-time ministry, I have had seasons in my life where I've served leaders who demanded loyalty. But I've learned something about loyalty, and that is loyalty is never demanded. Loyalty is always sown. Because whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. True spiritual authority always exists for the betterment of other people. Amen. Amen. I'm enjoying my sermon today. Number three, you don't get keys, or rephrase, you don't give keys to people, here we go, you don't trust. How many of you would give the keys to your car or the keys to your house if you were going on a month holiday to someone you don't trust? None of us would do it. Absolutely not. You give an access point to people that you trust. Now, in South African culture, I don't know if they do this these days anymore. They still may do in some. When you get to the age of 21, and so there's this whole thing about giving the keys of the house over to the child that's turning 21. And so it's a big deal in South African culture. They buy this huge key. It's about this big. And, you know, I'm kind of like in this stage in my life where I love my mum and dad. I love my brother and my sister. But we're different because we eat biltong. We eat samosas. We eat curry. And I'm like in this scenario where I'm turning 21 and now I have to introduce my youth group people to my curry eating, biltong eating culture. So I remember at this 21st thing, you know, my mum makes bunny chows. Come on, South Africans, you're here today. In Jesus' name, there's about three of us, but we are here. And we got biltong. I'm dating Allison at the time. The house smells of curry. And I bring all my Caucasian Australian youth group friends over. And so I'm in this kind of two worlds of South Africa, grew up in Australia. The samosas are going ballistic. We got the Cook sisters as well. There you go, Aziza. And so my dad then has to give a speech, right? And so the speech is the keys to the house. And all my Caucasian Australian friends, you're 21 and you're only getting the keys to the house now. But the truth is I always had keys. It was more a symbolic a day to recognize almost this coming of age, so to speak. And so anyway, you know, I get given this huge key. Dad gives a speech. Everyone claps. Fantastic. Thank you for the key. Day over. There you go. Embarrassed, happy, sad, confused, all at the same time. But the idea of a key is to symbolize something. Now, my dad would never give me the keys to the house if he knew one day this kid is so bad, we could come home and there could be no furniture. Who knows what I'm talking about? So the keys are given to people that you trust. I want to say this to you. God trusts you. He trusts you. He trusts you with all of his heart. And he said, I will, here we go, watch this, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I will give you, come on everyone, say the word you. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever Come on, church, you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. God, here we go. He chose you. He trusts you. And he has given you authority. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. You have been given divine authorization to bind the things that have been bound in heaven and to loose the things that have already been. God trusts you today. Now, I'm trusting and believing that I will flourish in my spiritual authority. We cannot underestimate the power of spiritual authority to speak into situations and to see the kingdom come in those situations. So let's paint it like this. In Australia, we have, and most nations do, a foreign ambassador. So let's paint a hypothetical scenario today. This is not fact, this is hypothetical. Let's say the Australian ambassador to the UK as an example. That person's role is to what? Represent in that nation the interests of Australia. They are not there to criticize our nation. Steve Smith scored a double century this week, right? Now, imagine if the Australian ambassador in the UK got on TV and said, yeah, Steve Smith's okay. There's better players than him. I mean, he's average, but I think the other guy coming through the Sheffield Shield system, he's much better than Steve. It's like, what are you doing? You are there to represent the interests of Australia. How do we grow in this area of spiritual authority? We grow by understanding God's heart in this area. He wants to trust us. He does trust us. But let me give you a key today. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, the verse that we read this morning, Jesus said, watch this, I will give you the keys of what? Of the kingdom of, come on, where? Come on, you got to say it, of heaven. He says, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He says, I want you to represent me here on the earth by following heaven's program for the earth. And if you are willing to follow, just like a foreign ambassador, heaven's program for the earth, more authority is coming in your direction. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God, goes on to say, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So binding and loosing and all this stuff that people get into, is it representing the interests of what? The kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? It's life. It's love. Come on. It's joy. It's acceptance. It's peace. It's not taking authority over people we don't like. It's bringing the Father's heart into that situation. It's life, love, joy, peace, healing, freedom, and forgiveness. That's the interest of the kingdom of heaven. Can you say amen? So the mindset then is we are looking for a heavenly, not an earthly, a heavenly solution to an earthly problem. The keys are connected to the kingdom of heaven. There's always a heavenly solution to an earthly problem. When Alison and I first moved to the Shire, well, let's just say housing prices decided to go crazy. We were from Adelaide. Adelaide is just doesn't move. Maybe 1%, 0.2%. It just kind of stays. But Sydney, on the other hand, my goodness, if you own 20 properties, it just went ballistic. We couldn't afford to buy a house in the Sydney market. But we know that God has given to us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. There is a spiritual solution, a heavenly solution to an earthly problem. So we felt God say, downsize. Go to something small and do your best you can to keep saving. Honor me with what I have given to you. Now, I've got to tell you this. Even what we were putting away was not enough to do or to find something that we kind of wanted, unless we wanted a one-bedroom apartment with, you know, one bathroom. That doesn't work for a family of four. Come on, say amen. But we felt God say, honor me. Honor me with what you have. So I've been given a key of a heavenly solution to an earthly problem. We honored God. And my wife, Allison, is just brilliant when it comes to spreadsheets. And I was kind of given my $20 for coffee per week. And I'm like, thank you, man, in Jesus' name. But we wanted to honor God. And then it came a time where we just felt this stirring. It's time to look. Come on, it's time. It's time. Something's, we just could sense it. Something was happening. We need to get a house. And we see this house and something just leaps in our heart. It's like, this is it. And it's kind of not far from here. And we prayed that we would have a flat driveway so I could play basketball with my son on the driveway, because I've noticed that so many houses in the Shire, it goes like this, you know? And I found this flat, and I was like, the basketball rink could go there. There was a swimming pool, which I would have to clean. Bazza said, amen. And it was just right for our family. Less than 5 minutes from church. And 3 minutes to White Horse Coffee. See, that deserved a clap right there. And God gave us the key. And we knew this was ours. We knew that something was happening if we just honored God with what He gave to us. Well, it came time for the auction, and my wife went into Arnold Schwarzenegger mode on that day. I was scared of speaking at these, and you know, she's like, let me at it, boom. And she's just like, boom, just going hard. I'm like, who is this woman? She's about to karate-size me, you know. And on that day, 2 years ago, we experienced a miracle on that day. God blessed us with an awesome house, and there's not a week that does not go by when Allison and I are in the car on our day off and we say to each other, we love where we live. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We love where we live. He trusts you today. He trusts you with spiritual authority. If we're willing to follow His heart, His program, the kingdom of heaven on earth. We're not here to use this verse to hurt people or to bring damage to people's lives. This verse exists to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, which is love and hope and healing and forgiveness and deliverance. That's His heart. Can you say amen? Come on, why don't you stand up on your feet this morning? Let's give Jesus an awesome clap and a shout of praise in the house this morning. I'm going to ask the musicians and singers to come this morning. Come on, who can sense God in the house this morning? Have you been blessed by the word today? Come on, have you been blessed? You have authority in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.